All right, Acts chapter 6, remain standing. Acts chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 5. And if you wonder why Nathan and I are smiling, Nathan got a sister and I got a daughter. Boom! I think Nathan was more happy than T. But anyway. All right, we're going to look at verse 5, and I've given you a unique little next set and additional. Just so you won't get nervous, I'm not going to read over every single verse. But we're going to get through several verses, several meaning a whole lot, as we continue our study. Verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. Remember, they realized that the ministry was dropping off. God was adding thousands by the day. And so they selected Stephen, very important, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and then three guys that their mamas didn't love them, and Nicholas. He was a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. You may be seated. What happens next in this study is something that is so timely for us today to grasp that which you and I live most of our life not thinking we would probably see. And that is that people would literally in our lifetime be killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now you can emphasize that part of the story. But the true picture, if you look at the text, is the other part of the story. And that is to live in such a way, now get this, that Jesus would stand because of your life. Think about that. Where is Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of God. And yet in this passage, we find Stephen, a guy who was not a celebrity. He was not drawing attention to himself, but chosen to do a very simple yet important task, lead a group in ministering to the widows. And yet Stephen, in the midst of that, lives in such a way that you're going to find he gets killed for his faith, for taking care of the widows, and yet in that whole process, there's a point where Jesus stands. If you and I live our life so that Jesus stands when he sees our life activity, you and I will be able to face anything that comes our way. So we're going to walk through this. I want you to fill in the blank. Number one, serving, doing whatever God calls you to do. Everybody likes the limelight. Well, not everybody. How many of you, you just don't care if anybody ever sees you? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a few. How many of you, honestly, you want to be seen? The rest of you better get your hand. Yeah, I knew you would. You know, Johnny told you, got most of the family. The baby, who does exist, Johnny and Marty and Carl have seen Paul. You can't miss Paul, but they've seen him. He and his wife and daughter had to catch an early flight, but the rest of the family is here, minus one niece. She's the tallest of the whole clan. But there's one sitting over here to my right, your left, that she's just a walking selfie. And she is so thrilled for the first time she gets to hear Uncle Tim preach. And you are part of this monumental task because Rachel needs a good sermon in her life. Boom. All right, I've been waiting to do that for a long time. Can you imagine just serving God, doing whatever he calls you to do? Not caring whether you've got the limelight, not caring if anybody sees, not caring if anybody knows. You're just simply doing what God called you to do. Listen to me, I keep telling you this over and over and over and over again. And we got to get it. You and I need to forget about what other people think about us. It's not about us. It's about him. So we are to live every day doing those things that God calls us to do, regardless if everybody sees, regardless if everybody knows. Because listen, when either you get taken out or the trumpet sounds and we fly out, other people don't matter. What's going to matter is what God sees in your life and the fact that you and I are going to stand in the presence of God, and everything that we've done is going to be revealed, and He will determine that which was done for the cause of Christ, that which was in obedience to Him. Everything else gets burned up. And there's not even any hot dogs in heaven. Bummer. So my question to you, you think of Stephen. He's a guy that was taking care of the widows. Now, it pleased the whole multitude at what they had done. And he had his crew put together. And they began to do. And then things began to happen. But you've got to realize who Stephen was. In verse 5, this is 2 weeks in a row that we've read that verse. It says he was a man full of faith and what? And the Holy Spirit. I want you to fill in the next two blanks. We're going to hit those real fast. You've got to serve doing what God tells you to do, whether it's noticed or unnoticed. If you've got to wave a flag, it might be that you're not doing what God wants you to do. Hello. If you think everybody's got to know what you've done, maybe you're not doing it for the right reason. If it's unnoticed, and there are tons of people in this God's church who just simply do these things time and time and time again, and they never get noticed. You know what I've had a tough time with? We want to acknowledge what they're doing. We want to celebrate what they're doing, but you know what? That would defeat what they were doing. You and I need to serve whether God highlights us or not. Now, I've made a joke to the boys. You know, in this modern digital age, it's amazing how many sermons you can preach after you're dead. Some of you have listened on the radio to preachers that are dead. They preach pretty good, don't they? There's one guy, and I love this guy. Had the privilege of meeting him, had the privilege of talking with him, had him in a class, but he's been dead for a while. And a couple of years ago, they came out with a Snuggie in his honor. That you could purchase a Snuggie that had his name on it to keep warm. And I got to thinking about that. My first thought was, I wonder what the Tim Guthrie Snuggie would be like. Didn't like that thought. And then I said to the boys, listen, when I die, whatever is on the internet, whatever sermons are there, whatever things I've read, pull it all down. Because when I die, I'm going to be in heaven. And I want to stay dead, because once you get to heaven, you don't want to leave, right? Now, everybody gets spiritual and says, but the insight God gave you could reach other generations and go on and on. And God is the one that's reaching the other generations on and on and on. So whether you're noticed or unnoticed, just do what God's called you to do. That's what Stephen was doing. And they chose him first and foremost because he was a man full of faith. And that next phrase, he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. Number two, live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Now, if I were to ask you, how many of you in the room are intelligent? Raise your hand. John Bailey, why did yours go up so fast? If I were to ask in the room, this is a strange question on Sunday morning. How many of you know you're just not that bright? Now John Bailey gets his hand up. You know what is more important to you than intelligence? The Spirit of God. Because He's the teacher. He's the comforter, but He's also the teacher. He's the one living inside of us, that took up residence within inside of us when we accept Jesus Christ. And if you and I live in His power, live in His Spirit, you and I will know what to say when we're supposed to not say it. We'll know how to say it. We'll be able to do whatever it is God calls us to do. Now think about that. Here's Peter. He was just supposed to be serving. Look at verse 9. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, and they were disputing with Stephen. In other words, they were having a discussion about Jesus. But verse 10 is an incredible verse. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the what? Spirit by which he spoke. If you have to stop and think of how you're going to say things about your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're thinking, well, how do I want this to land? It's probably an indicator that you're not living within the Spirit of God in your daily life, because the Spirit of God gives you. It's all about him anyway, right? So here he is. He's talking. They're wanting to argue. And they could not resist the wisdom and the Spirit. Verse 15. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Now, how awesome is that? Some of you desperately need to live in the Spirit, because we need to see the face of an angel instead of what we're seeing, right? Think about that one for a while. They were looking at him, and that phrase, looking steadfastly, they were literally staring him down. Have you ever felt like somebody was staring you down and you didn't know they were doing it, but you could feel it? You had that moment? And you start looking to see who it is that's staring at you? That's what they were doing. They were staring him down. Why? Not because he was just this great-looking guy like your pastor. Man, y'all are sick with allergies or something. They were staring at him because all of a sudden his face had the appearance of an angel. Why? Because in the interaction that he was having, he was allowing the Spirit of God to work in his life. And they couldn't refute that. He was not taking it personal. This is just a side note. This is just a free part, all right? Listen, I know we're living in a messed up time. And if you understand what the Office of President and the Justice Department and the Department of Education sent out a letter on Friday, if you understand how nuts and crazy that is, I do too. It's insane. Men go to men's restroom and ladies go to ladies' restroom. And you're going to do that here, or I'm going to turn our men loose on you. And I'll be the first one to get you and explain to you the facts of life. That's crazy, but listen, you can't take that stuff personal. You got to let the Spirit of God work through you. Now think about that. You and I live in this moment similar to what Stephen was in. There's just a total rejection that Jesus is the Son of God. There's a total rejection that you and I as Christians, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord, that we can live in such a way and stay true to our faith. But I keep telling you, you got to go back to Daniel. Daniel lived the same life that Stephen lived. He never advocated for anything. He never tried to gain anything. He just simply lived faithfully, and God promoted him in three ungodly scenarios. Stephen, in the midst of serving the widows, begins to get challenged. And he responds in such a way that they could not refute, because he was living in the Spirit. So I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to fill this one down on the bullet. Do people see you, or do people see God? Listen to me. That's all that matters. Do they see you, or do they see God? If you have to tell them it's of God, something's wrong. You don't need a PR person. You and I as a church don't need to go tell people how awesome we are. If we're being faithful to God, then they will understand because God will draw them to Himself. And we're just going to be that connector, that avenue that gets them there, right? So that means, listen, in everything we do ministry-wise, make sure people are seeing God, not you. Make sure it becomes that natural thing. Because here's Stephen. He was not a narcissist. He was not someone that just went around saying, hey, look at me, look how great I am. He was just simply serving God. And they said, hey, we need a group taken care of. And they appointed, and the very first one they chose was Stephen. And then in the middle of doing that, they start arguing with him. Now notice where the argument came. The argument came from the synagogue. Let me explain something to you. The religious will cause a mess every time. That's why it's so important that you and I never forget. We're not about a religion. We're about a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only thing that matters is that relationship and that we are simply sharing Jesus so that others can have that relationship. The religious stuff and all that hogwash, it doesn't mean anything because you know what? It's the first part that gets burned up when we get to heaven. What matters is how you and I interact with the person of Jesus Christ. And if you've truly accepted Him, check your life and just simply say, do people see God or do they see me? What is it they're seeing? You say, well, you know, I want to be cool. How many of you ever thought it would be great to be nominated as the coolest person on the face of the earth? Nobody. You're lying. Honestly, how many of you have thought, you know, if everybody just acknowledged how awesome I was, Mickey, it ain't going to happen. I'll make sure that never happens, Mickey. I'm going to keep you humble. But you know what? If you look at those that have celebrity status, when that happens, they lose their life. That's why they go nuts. That's why they go bonkers. Because you and I are fighting against that very basic principle involved in our salvation. Stephen had it. Stephen got it. It's all about the person who saves us from our sin. It's all about the person who died for us. And just simply living in that reality, allowing the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I know we've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit lately. Are you still nervous? I hope not. Because you and I need to live every day in the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I need to live every day in the influence of the Holy Spirit. You and I need to quit talking and let the Holy Spirit talk. True? And that's what Stephen did. And in the process, he got the first ever biblically recorded facelift. His face had the appearance of an angel. Now, what does an angel look like? Don't raise your hand. What does an angel look like? An angel is not human. An angel has no soul. An angel is not human. An angel's different. In fact, when we die, those of us that are in Christ, the Bible says we get to put on a new body, right? You know, we get rid of the corruptible and we put on the incorruptible. I mean, I am going to be a stud when Jesus comes back. Right? And so are you, right? But the reality is we're not going to look the same that we look now. Some of you are going to look in a mirror in heaven and go, who am I? Because there's going to be the absence of sin. There's going to be the absence of pain. There's going to be the absence of struggle. There's not going to be any sorrow. It's a whole new picture. But we're still not even talking about that group. We're talking about an angel. It says, read it again. They saw his face as the face of an angel. And angels don't have the little halos over their head either. They saw the presence of God. Stephen didn't become an angel. If you're a human being, you don't get promoted from human being to angel. Hello. That was a free golden nugget that some of you really need to get. When you're a human being, you don't get promoted to being an angel. When people die, they don't turn into angels. The Bible says when you die, you're in the presence of God, if you know Jesus Christ. Right? To be absent from this world is to be present with Him. You don't go through this process, well, I'm going to hang out over here as an angel for a while. You know you don't go to purgatory. There is no such thing. You don't go over here to the angelic section, well, I'm going to be an angel for a while. You go straight to heaven. You're in the presence of God. What they saw was not that he turned into an angel. They saw the presence of God on his face because he was living in the Spirit of God. How awesome would that be if we all caught that? If we all could literally just simply live in such a way that when people saw us, they saw God. Look at number three. Honor the Word of God with your life. If you'll glance from Acts chapter 7, verse 2, all the way to verse 53, if you'll glance through, in fact, here's your homework for this afternoon after you wake up from your nap. Look through that passage, verse 2 through 53. Stephen knew the Bible. He literally knew the Bible. He believed the Bible. He didn't believe stuff and then try to go find a verse to back it up. He knew the Bible and he believed it. He preached it or he proclaimed it. He taught it. Everything that he did, he just simply gave people Jesus. And he applied the Bible to his own life and to those who heard. That's why they began to question. The reality of that long section of verses that we're not going to read is that you and I need to honor God with our lives because we're honoring him with the Word of God. Now think about that. Why do you believe what you believe? Can you say it came from your study of the Word of God? Can you say that it's consistent with the Word of God? Or is it just something that gets passed down? Stephen had it. He got it. Now, he didn't walk around saying, hey, listen, I know the Bible. You know what I've learned? The more I study the Bible, the less I know. True? When you think you've got a subject figured out, keep studying. Stephen was just a student of the Bible. His life honored that word. He lived in such a way that he was given honor to the Word of God. Now, look at the list. He was serving, doing whatever God called him to do. He was living in the Spirit. People were seeing God, not him. He was honoring the Word of God with his life. And then we get to verse 55, chapter 7, 55. Look at it. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and what? Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Why? Because they were going to take him out. He was taking care of the widows and they were going to take him out because of the way that he was living his life. And he looks up to heaven. He's still living the same way that he had lived, and he sees the glory of heaven, and there is Jesus standing. Wow. A buddy over here, Mr. Smith, every Sunday morning, he didn't know he was going to make it into my sermon. First time, Butch. Mr. Smith, every time I go to shake his hand, he stands. And I tell him, quit standing up. When you stand, when somebody walks up to you, it's a sign of, y'all know what it is? Sign of respect. And he does that, and he's going to keep doing it because he doesn't listen to his pastor. Right? He says, I can't believe you're doing this. I'm going to get you. But I don't, you stand for elected officials. You stand for people you want to honor. Can you imagine Jesus standing for you? Think about that. We stand for Jesus, right? One of the things I love about this place is when we start singing, we don't have to tell you what to do. You're not a robot. When it's good, when we're worshiping God, you stand. Can you picture God standing for you? Stephen lived his life in such a way, look at that verse, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And watch what Stephen says. Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You know why? Stephen was such a faithful servant that he's about to die. Here's that other side of the story I mentioned at the first part of the sermon. Stephen lived his life faithfully. And for no reason, as totally unfair as it was, Stephen was going to be put to death. He was going to be martyred. He wasn't an eloquent speaker. He wasn't a theologian. He did not draw attention to himself. He just simply served as God told him to serve. He did so in the Spirit of God. He did so honoring the Word of God in his life. He was very humble. He was very quiet. You would not have noticed him. And yet they pick a fight with him. He answers in a very humble but Spirit-filled way. He has the appearance of an angel. In other words, they could see God in him. And now they're going to kill him. Now, I know that motivates you to live for God, doesn't it? Think about it. It should. And it's not that you need to be a social media sensation. It's not that everybody needs to know who you are and read your stuff. What we ought to be doing is just make sure that we're found faithful when our time comes. Just simply serving. Living our life in such a way that Jesus would stand faithful.